What's up, everybody? This is Chad from GrayscaleGorilla.com. Welcome to another Grayscale. God, how come I can never get the name of our company in the first line? Grayscale Gorilla podcast, episode 55. Sorry about that. I promise I'll get better.
That's my fault. That name's way too long. I'm sorry.
It's hard to say sometimes. Anyway, with us, as always, we've got Chris Schmidt. Say hi, Chris.
Hello, everybody.
And Nick is on the road still. Where are you at this time, Nick?
I'm in Flagstaff, Arizona, heading my way back to the Midwest. So we're on the tail end of the trip, trying to stay as warm as we can, as long as we can, and head across the country. And then we'll head up north back to maybe Chicago for a night. Maybe I'll be able to see you guys, and then back to Detroit. So almost done.
How long have you been gone? How many weeks?
Oh, boy. I think I left February 9th. So it's been a long time.
Good thing you don't have a dog, because somebody will have had to have been watching that dog for
that
a long
dog
time.
Really, really
needs to be fed
right now.
Your house is trashed.
No, yeah, it's very, you know, I've talked about this in other podcasts. If you guys are interested about this road trip, why I do it, I've talked about it in past Grayscale Gorilla podcasts and stuff before, but you know, this is it's a little bit of work, a little bit of play, a little bit of seeing friends, seeing the country, seeing the national parks before they all get closed down, and you know, just kind of stepping away from the computer for a moment. So I always enjoy this month. It frees me up to then work my ass off the rest of the year. Gets my brain a little bit more focused, but that's for another podcast. Thanks again for having me, guys, and sorry about the crappy overhead lighting here.
Oh, no, that's all right. I'm just enjoying the pattern on the chair behind you. It's very, very festive. The colors.
Is that nice? Yeah, that's nice. Nice. Mm. Yeah. Nothing but the best for you guys.
Anyway, well, we got a short one, so we gotta move fast here, because Nick's got to bug out and get on the road. So let's just talk about news. We have a few things. We have Grayscale Gorilla. The Gorilla Grade LUTs are out and have been out, what, now a week? We launched it
today.
A week. Doing fantastic. Thanks for everybody out there that's been purchasing those. We are glad to have you, and we hope you like them as much as we do. We've been using them on our renders for, almost a year now. So,
yep. Not me. I either used them for the first time on Wednesday during the live chat.
That wasn't intentional. I didn't really get that it was your first time. You were such a natural. It took him like, I don't know, it was like the most painful install process I think I've ever witnessed.
And, yeah, and during the live stream, the computer, I think, was the hard drive space was running really low. So it took fully like 20 minutes for this thing to unzip. And inside that zip was another zip. And on the normal, well-working machine, that process would have taken 5 seconds. And it ended up taking like 20 minutes.
So Chris is like demoing live this thing. I'm in the chat room like going, oh my God, it's blowing it, you know. And it was fine. He got it. He eventually got it. And everybody was really nice and patient and telling Chris that he needs to get a new computer. Well, actually, that was mostly me telling him that he needed to get it.
They're all yelling that Nick has to buy me a new computer. And I have a new computer, but not for live stream.
Yeah, I think we'll have to step up our live stream computer game. It might be PC time. What do you think?
I think so.
Oh, dang.
Although, I don't want to turn this into that discussion, even though I'm sure it probably people would probably love it.
Listen, I've been on the road. I've been with my laptop, but I'm sure when I get home, get back to the big hardware, there's gonna be more PC talk. I'm sure there will.
All right,
but we gotta save that one.
You heard it. Okay.
Tease.
Yeah. I don't really think we have much else in the way of news. We're prepping for NAB, which is the list of speakers is out, and the three of us will be there. So if you're out there, come say hello.
I'll add our first podcast note here. And if you want to see the podcast notes, anything we say, URLs, stuff we mention, we always try to add into the notes. If you're listening on iTunes, you can go to our blog and you can see all the notes. And if you're on YouTube right now, we'll try to put those in the description down below. But the first one I'll add is c4dlive.com. And there you can see all the presenters that'll be at NAB. And then I think soon they'll be announcing times and schedules and when everyone's going to be on the stage. So don't forget, they stream that stuff live. If you can't make it to Vegas, and if you can make it to Vegas, come by, watch it live, but also come to our booth, which will be just behind the Maxon Cinema 4D booth. There'll be the first Grayscale Gorilla NAB booth in history. So we're going to do some fun. Yeah, we're excited. Some fun stuff. One of us will always be there. So come say hi, and we'd love to meet our customers and people that watch our stuff and listen to this podcast. So
we've got some killer swag too. I mean, I'm not even going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to go by the booth and, you know, maybe ask a few questions and then say the secret word and we'll give you some swag. Is it swag or swag?
I don't know. Swag feels more like a way I would walk in a cool way. And then swag feels like.
Yeah, but there's no CH in it. So
you're right.
Where you're just adding letters in.
That's the cool part. It's like free stuff, just like swag.
Yeah, there you go.
Free letters. Yeah. Free letters.
Think about it. Change your mind.
And then, anyway. And I think tomorrow we're going to be, tomorrow being Tuesday, we're going to be releasing the first of the half-res presentations. So I think we decided we're going to be releasing mine. And just as a heads up, at my half-res presentations, I'm always trying to use Cinema 4D in some absurd way. So as a double sneak preview for anybody who wasn't there, I'm trying to do a tutorial in Cinema 4D release 6, extra large 6.
Way back. What'd they say, 2000, right? From the year
2000? Yeah, that's 2000. Yeah, from the
year 2000. That's going to be good. In fact, I was there and it was really fun and I'm going to watch it again. Probably right after this. Anyway, so let's get into the topic, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. The
topic is, how do I even word this topic? So the daily render phenomenon, let's just call it.
Definitely.
Phenomenon. Started, I think, I don't know, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, maybe not, maybe less. And it became this thing where everybody felt like they needed to do a daily render to be relevant for some reason. And it started with the noblest of intentions, a way to better your skills, a way to get good at something, a way to, you know, get critique on something. And I think along the way, in my opinion, and that's why I wanted Saul to discuss this, I think it's lost its way and has become this, it's become this like Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox and people just chasing likes and not trying to get better at something. And going for the sure thing in terms of content to get their subscriptions or followers or whatever you call it up. And I don't know. I kind of had this moment where I was like, I kind of feel like the only person that should be doing dailies is Beeple. But that's not necessarily fair because there are a lot of people out there doing amazing work on a semi-daily basis. I just feel like it's a trend now and I'm just not a big fan of it anymore. What do you guys think?
I disagree with that. So I understand the tone of what you're saying, which is in general, try not to replicate what everyone else is doing. So let me set this up too. I've been saying for years, one of the best things that you could do to up your game is to do short bursts of work every day. And to like try to up your skills, not just by doing them in your own computer, but by actually rendering them and getting them out into the public. And just like you said, Chad, like getting them out and get critique and try to make ugly stuff, right? I've always tried to say like you have to make 200 ugly things before you start making really pretty things. So might as well just get all that ugly stuff out of the way and post it. So I think what you're maybe running into, Chad, is anytime something becomes more popular, there's always more and more people doing it. And you get into this like burnout aspect or this idea of like, well, I've seen that before. And oh, here comes another, you know, daily render person that is trying to be like people. But what they really should be doing is finding their own way or their own design or something. If I'm reading what you're saying.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's you made my point.
Yeah, but you're not wrong. right? There is a lot of emulation. There's a lot of like people that want to be Beeple and love what he's doing and saying like the same thing that I say all the time, which is how in the fuck do you do that? How do you look at something that is that good that Beeple makes and then look at your own screen and go, how do I do that? And what I would encourage people to do is not listen to Chad and keep going. So what I would say is the part of what you said that I agree with is the emulation part, is this chasing it for likes, or if it's too close to what Beeple's making or what Hood Ass is making or what, you know, like Locked and Loading is making, then you're not necessarily learning as much as you are just emulating. Now, what I would say is, emulation is one of the best ways to start learning. Copying somebody almost identical, I love that. I love that process of copying people and learning how things are made. But
yeah, but you don't publish.
Maybe don't put it out as your daily render, right? So I would agree with that. I would agree with that aspect of it. But what I would say is, like any new kid learning guitar, like if let's just pretend every new kid that's learning guitar is going to learn their first song, record it, put it on YouTube, and try to like get it out to the world. That song's going to suck.
Yeah, dude, and aren't we super annoyed by those people too?
Yeah. Yeah, and you could be like if you were following a bunch of people that put out their brand new YouTube video of them learning a Green Day song, that would suck. It would be a bad Instagram feed. So, I mean, I think you need to like turn off some people on Instagram, not follow the people that you don't like, but man, to the people out there making stuff, I would say make more stuff, put more stuff out on Instagram. Maybe go find your way a little bit more, maybe go find your style a little bit closer to that. But don't stop making stuff because it's been done before. I don't agree with that.
Well, I want to jump in here because I have strong opinions about this stuff. And in fact, we have, even just between the three of us, we have had lots of conversation along these lines. It's funny. It's kind of spreading out now to the broader, the broader community. But and it's not like we're immune to it either. Like I Grayscale Gorilla was like, oh, we should make an Instagram. We should work on daily renders and we'll do it as a company and we'll do all this stuff. And we've had lots of conversations about that. But you guys, we've had conversations and I've always struggled. And just so people know, for the most part and I'm not even sure what the status is now because I haven't made one in a while, but it was kind of like, okay, between the three of us, and we also had like Ivan, the former intern, and some different people who were kind of heavily involved in the company. We were all kind of cycling through, and it's like, okay, so every month each of us was responsible for like 4 or 5 daily renders. So as a company, we couldn't dedicate too much time to it, but individually we could each do that. I was struggling so much with every single one of my daily renders. But the reason I was struggling is because I was approaching it differently than I feel most people do. And you guys kept on telling me I was effectively doing it wrong. And then Chad, I'll even say this for you. You were telling me I was doing it wrong. And now you are throwing this out, telling everybody that stop doing that, which is exactly what you were telling me to do a year ago. So I want to throw that out there.
Can you elaborate on that point, please?
I will. And it is that it was every time I made a daily render, I was like, I need to try something new. I got to push myself. I got to be learning new techniques in cinema. I got to be pushing this stuff. And I'm going into Photoshop and really going deeper into it for the first times ever. And like, I'm going to try and model a building from scratch and do it in an Art Deco style. And I'm going to do some research on Art Deco. And then I'm going to put this together and do the model. And now let's put it in there. And I'm going to grow trees with thinking particles, actually X particles. Grow some trees and then put in the environment, go to Photoshop and make it look all old timey and like it's an old black and white photograph. I was doing so much to try and make something unique every single time that even though I was only making 4 or 5 renders a month, I was spending so much time doing it, like really struggling, really trying. And I had like from before we started, because we started the daily render, I feel like right at the peak, like right as it's hitting its zenith there. And I was already super against floating blobs, like the floating, like I like floating blob TM kind of thing. Like everybody, it's so easy to go into cinema and throw some cubes into a cloner and then run some dynamics on it and then throw into an XP skinner or a meta ball and then do an extrusion, put some sub poly displacement, boom, daily render. It's like that's what all the renders were. And I was so, like, even before we started, I was already burnt out on the concept of floating blobs in space. Heck, if you just take that floating blob and you put it on the ground, you have now made it twice as interesting and you've given it some scale. Like, put that floating blob in a pile of sand and now you've given it scale. You've given it environment. You've done all these things. I was always struggling and trying to add stuff and add total variation on everything. And Chad, one thing you were specifically saying and pushing was like, no, come up with a series, like make a thing and then do iterations of it and change it every time. So it's like, you know, whatever, it'd be shiny spheres in the sand, a series. And it's like, okay, it's spheres, but now it's cubes and it's different lighting. It's this. So you could create one concept and then make five iterations of it. And that's your kind of monthly contribution to it. But like, I couldn't do that either.
But going back to what you said, you claimed that I was somehow telling you to do something. By telling you to iterate off of a concept, I don't think is necessarily being hypocritical, which is kind of what you accuse me of being.
Well, okay. I'll step that back. I don't think it's hypocritical, but like essentially I was – right now you're saying that there's a lot of sameness and everybody's copying. I was extreme on the other end of that where I was like, I never want anything to be the same. I want nothing to be similar. I can't do this. And the amount of time I was sinking into it was actually becoming a problem. And then, so you essentially were recommending like a halfway point between them. It was like, oh, take one concept and iterate it a few times. But like, but that is still moving more in that direction than what I want to do, which was like unique, challenge myself completely on every single one of them.
Yeah, but
and,
I think
and actually feel like I was learning on them.
But your case is unique in that you were on the hook to deliver a set amount, even though it's not even something that you would do on your own, because it was a GSG thing, you know, like we were all saying, let's try to make this happen. So I think that your case is a little bit different, because had you not been asked to do it, you probably wouldn't do it. And you just wouldn't. You didn't, number well, one,
you guys are both bringing up something that I think is right, which is if Chad, as an artist, you think that everything's too homogenous and the daily render thing has less value, then that's, you're right. And Chris, if you want to push your daily render, no matter how you came to it, but if you want to push your daily render as far as you can and learn something new, and you really take it as something, as a way to break cinema or however you were thinking of it, that's also right. And what I would say is you're both right, but the daily render thing, the daily render thing is not for Chris to impress Chad and not for Chad to impress Chris. The daily render thing is for each individual artist out there to flex a muscle that they haven't tried before. Even if that muscle is they've never hit render on cinema before, you have to remember that there are so many new people out there that a floating blob is a fucking success, dude. It is a huge success to them to get an actual good-looking, reflective, floating metaball blob out there. And they look at all the other metaball blobs out there and they realize that they could do better, right? Like, so, however, what I'm saying is the daily render format is not for anyone else. And maybe that's kind of what you're speaking to, Chad. Maybe people feel like they need to go get likes and they need to go like be exactly popular with this. And what I'll say is that is not a good way to approach it if you were a beginner. The best way to approach a daily render is to literally put as much effort into it as you can and then render it, put it out. Putting it out is a big part of the process. But don't look at your likes, man. Like don't focus on making something that you think everyone will love. Focus on making stuff that is pushing your boundaries, just like Chris is saying, pushing your knowledge.
No, I agree. I think you're idealistic about the daily render, which I like, and I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. What I see happening, though, as much as we'd like to believe that everybody is using the daily render to further their skills, I do see trends popping up, and those trends are just. I remember watching this video, and I'll try to find it, put it in the show notes. It might have been actually the dude from Blind. It might have been the dude that we talked about last week or something.
Oh, Chris?
It might not be. I could be completely wrong. But a long time ago, they put out this video about not copying carbon copies of carbon copies. Have you ever taken a Xerox copy and like copied it and then take that copy and copy it, and then by the end you've got a blob that looks like nothing because you've basically been copying copies? Well, they did this whole film, and I'm gonna try really hard to find this film because it was really interesting. It was about taking inspiration from things that aren't other people's work, but maybe dig deeper to the source of what the inspiration was for that person. Mm. So the idea of getting inspiration not from Beeple, but from the people that inspired Beeple, the sci-fi artists from the 70s and 80s, the, you know, all these different, you know, things that he draws from, going to those sources to get your ideas rather than him, because now you've just got a carbon copy of a carbon copy of a carbon copy. So that's my point. I'm with you. I think if you should be doing everything you can on a daily basis to further your skills. You should not be chasing likes. You should not be trying to grow a subscriber base using kind of these tropes that I see happening on Instagram and other places. The shiny ball has been replaced with the subsurface ball. Octane is might as well have like a publish to Instagram button. I mean, like it really is like, I mean, I'm coming off extra snarky in this one, and I apologize. Maybe it's just the fact that I've been cooped up in this house all winter, and I haven't experienced any sun in like a month.
You need a month and a half long road trip.
I know. I'm learning a lot about myself.
I got the California, no worries vibe going right now. And what that brings with it is the idea that the Daily Render, and I hope I'm clear as I talk about the Daily Render is for you. And what I mean is it's for the artist. It is not. It is partly for other people to see your work. It is partly to show people what you're good at and what you're interested in. But especially early on, the Daily Render is for you. It is for you to push yourself because you know it will be viewed by people, right? The showing it to people is a big part of it.
Okay, but let me interrupt you. And I promise I won't interrupt this again. But how many times have you seen a critique happen in that context?
I think people can do much better in asking for a critique. In fact, I'm looking at ways to like find a comfortable safe space for people to get good critique for their work. I think that is really difficult, especially for people early on. But what I will say is there's a fundamental difference from rendering it out and putting it in your folder and rendering it out and putting it up publicly. If nothing else, it makes you think a little bit extra about maybe a little bit of extra color correction, a little bit of extra, let me try, that color is not quite right. I'm thinking of Rick, local Michigan guy, man. Rick, I think his Instagram name is Lundskow, Lundskow. I'll put that in the notes. But he's been making like cereal renders. Like he's been trying to like photorealistic make, you know, cocoa pebbles. And I could tell like he's sitting there going, you know, that doesn't quite look like cocoa pebbles. And I think the reason that he is doing that is A, he's interested in furthering his career and getting better, but he also knows that people are going to see this. And in the title somewhere, he's going to write cocoa pebbles. And if it doesn't look like that, he's going to spend extra time. So to me, that process is a huge part of it. It putting it out publicly means that your name is on it and that you want it to be as good as it can be at the moment you made it. And so, you know, I don't have a perfect situation. I love what you said about going to your, you know, not just what your friends are doing or not just what your heroes are doing, but find out where they get their inspiration. I think that stuff's really smart. Or like what Rick's doing. He literally, I don't know where he's coming up with this stuff, but he's making Frosted Flakes letters, you know, just yeah. That's his concept. He took breakfast cereal and he took the daily letter render challenge and he mashed them together, poured some milk over it and got going. You know, there's so many ways.
That no, I mean, there's good people. There's definitely, I mean, we had him, he was our guest for 1 week. So there are people doing original good stuff. It's just, I just wish people, it's hard too, because it's a thumbs up or thumbs down medium when you're posting. Well, not thumbs down, but it's like no comment or a heart, or if you're, you know, well, let's just keep it to Instagram because that's usually where they're at. And so you get that positive reinforcement from something that you do, and then instead of it's not really a critique. It's more like a positive reinforcement on maybe a technique that you tried. And then all of a sudden you think you should be doing more of that because that's what people like.
Yes. And I have seen no correlation between the daily renders that I felt like I had challenged myself and learned new things and how much people liked them. Mm-hmm. Like that's actually a frustrating, like you guys said, I wouldn't be doing a daily render if we weren't kind of doing it as a company. And because I don't value daily renders for myself that much, the only way I could add value was to make it so challenging that now I feel like I'm getting value from it. So that was the limiter for me. But there is a frustration then where it's like, okay, I just tried really hard. I put all this work. I like everything you see on the screen, I modeled from scratch and blah, blah, blah. And Chad, and this is where it's a bad medium, because you made some freaking kick-ass photorealistic things, but you went onto TurboSquid and then you got this model of a woman and you put her in a jar that was a different model you got. And then you did the texturing and the lighting and it's gorgeous, but then that's being put up against other things and the value of what the effort you put in and what I feel like the value that somebody can get by working on it is completely disconnected from what the audience is going to react to.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that the word daily, I think, gets in the way of that sometimes, because I'm going to take Beeple out of the equation because he's an anomaly, like the fact that he can generate the stuff that he does in one day and also do real work is like, I don't even want to bring him up. But you know, for me, you know, you can't necessarily do anything of, in my opinion, of lasting value or anything that's going to expand your knowledge immensely in a day, unless you have nothing else going on.
No, that's totally wrong. That's the only way you can learn anything. There's no other way to learn anything than right now.
No, today, I understand that, but like
only
you can't.
Day you have to learn something.
So you're gonna tell me that you can learn to model the Millennium Falcon for your daily render, get it done, and like texture it, UV it, all that stuff, and render it out?
No, but if I don't get started on the render for the Millennium Falcon today, it's not going to be done tomorrow.
But then like, you won't get your daily render out.
Well, listen, Chris is a great example. He put so much time into every one of his daily renders that he was like, how do you do this and get all the other work done? And that's how a lot of this conversation came up. So everyone's daily, like how much time they put into it, how much other projects they scheduled around their daily render habit, that's up to them. But if you want to participate and you want to get better every day, the goal of the daily render is not to like take away from all the other work that you're doing to come do a daily render. The goal of the daily render is to get off your hands and get off, like stop watching tutorials and go make something. Like if you really have a huge Millennium Falcon project that you're working on every day and you're excited and you're waking up and you're doing it, don't go do a daily render project. You don't need
something
like that.
That's what I was looking for. That's exactly what I was looking for you to say.
Yeah. Like the daily render project. So in writing, they call it like daily pages or something like this. You talk to writers, you read a lot of books about how people get books made, and many of them adopt a daily writing habit. And many of them will say, most of the stuff that I write every day does not end up in the final book that I put out. But what it does is it gives me the habit of waking up every day and writing something. And if I just write 3 bad pages, maybe there's one good page in there somewhere. That's the habit of the daily render that I want to make sure sticks and stays. Is it's not there to build, you know, it is there in some ways to build your audience once you get a little bit better, but especially early on, it's there to get you stopping reading and stop watching a tutorial just for long enough to make something yourself, go make mistakes and see where you are bumping up against the edges of the software you're learning.
No,
because
I think
many of us, I was included. There was like a month there where I never actually even knew how to hit render and save out a JPEG out of Cinema because I was just tinkering around and playing and I never got all the way into that process. So the daily render habit for me is to build the habit of building something for real and not just watching another tutorial today, because that's easy and fun. All of us can watch another tutorial today, but you have to eventually stop, take everything that you've learned, take the tech knowledge that you have, take some of the inspiration that you have, even if early on it's you're copying stuff, and actually put something out there and then do it a little bit better tomorrow.
I agree fundamentally with what you said, and I don't think we're very far off here. I just feel like there's so much more to share than, like, to me, like, if I get just as much out of somebody posting a screen grab of them modeling something and like handling some tricky topology or some GIF of a particle system they made, and it's not rendered at all. It's not, it's just them sharing their process and like not necessarily thinking, oh God, I got to have a, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a lot more to share beyond a fully lit render. And I agree with what you're saying, get off your butts and stop watching and start doing, improve yourself every day. All those things, agree. The problem that I'm seeing is getting back to the core issue is that I feel like not everybody, but there are people out there that I think are just getting off track a little bit, and maybe
the daily render is becoming an end unto itself.
Yeah.
So that process to learn things.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I was trying to say, but you said it smarter.
I think we're all in agreement on what the goal of this is. I'm always a little allergic to the people that have been doing this for a long time telling the new people that they need to do less of what they're doing.
I would agree there, and I guess it's my main point of disagreement with you, Chad. Well, I see these trends, and I think it's important. It's very important to throw out there that if you're not learning and growing, and you're just doing a daily render to do the daily render because you want the likes, or there is something to be said that like I have literally not missed a day in a year. I need to make something. There's something to be said for that.
Sure.
But I would say that there are a lot of new people going, and like maybe I don't want to, like, I don't actually ever really use Instagram, but if I did have a feed of a bunch of these, maybe I don't want to follow a whole bunch of new people who are just getting started. But I think that goes to the individual now of like, okay, I'm not going to follow them until they're making quality work that I want to view and be inspired by. But then for these new people, what I'd be most interested in seeing would be a YouTube video where it cuts to a daily render every second and you can see their progress over a year. And if at the beginning of the video and the end of the video, there's a big giant difference in quality, assuming they're improving, then that's amazing. That was the goal here. But if you are doing daily renders and you have a daily render and then you do a video and a year later, that final render and the beginning render, you couldn't tell that there was a year apart between them, then you're right. Not growing. You're not changing. And I would love to see more of those. I would love to see the video compilation where you play, it's like blip, 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 and you can see the quality of it. And you hit pause, and you're like, wow, that one's really cool. That's crazy. But when you hit the end, you hit the beginning, you should be able to see a difference.
Yeah, I think, again, you guys keep talking about other people's daily renders like they're making them for you. Like, this is what I would like to see. This is what I would like to see. This is what I would like to see. None of it is up to you. It's not made for you. Those renders are made for them.
And no,
what I would tell everybody out there is, like, if whether it's Chad or Chris or anyone online or somebody that gives you a comment, read the comment, understand what they're trying to say. But you're also 100% right that if you as an individual out there, I'm talking to you, not these guys, I'm talking to you guys listening. If you out there are doing a daily render habit or a weekly render habit and you don't see growth over a year, you really need to look at what you're doing. Are you pushing yourself? What's the goal of this project? And if you're getting better, no matter if it's shiny spheres and meta balls or wherever you are in your career, if it's not getting better every month or 2 months or 6 months, if you're not seeing measurable growth, you need to think about why you're doing this daily render habit. And I think that as a prescription fits both of our angles. Make sure that you're
getting
better at what you're doing, no matter where you are. And then what I've always wanted to be is encouraging as heck, as much as I can, to people getting into something. But then once they actually decide that they want to do it for a career or for real, then be as real with them as possible. So early on with somebody, I want to go, you could do it. Come on in. Let's go. Let's try. Push. And as soon as they go, hey, I'm ready to get paid. Now, they're up against everyone else in the whole entire group. So
then the claws come out.
Yeah, then the claws come out because now we're talking real stuff. But early on, you have to be a little bit more like, we're artists here. Like, you know, somebody said this. Movies are like one of the only things you go watch, and at the end of it, we put all of our names at the end of it. Like, what else in life is there where I get a cup of coffee or I get a bottle of water or I go pay for something, anything else in the world, and there's a whole list of names of everybody that made it? Artists are a special little group. Like, we need a little bit of a hug at first. And what I'm there to tell you is...
I think actors are worse.
Actors are the same. We're all artists here. Like, and I'm one of them. Like, I'm like, I need the hugs. But you also, at a certain point, you need me to say, hey guys, you could do it. Come on in. Stop. Don't pay attention to these old dudes telling you what to do. Come in, start learning. But then as soon as you decide that you want to go do this for a living, you need to listen more to the Chads of the world that are saying that's not quite up to par yet. So to me,
I don't like being lumped into this old dude thing. I need to say that right off the bat.
What I mean is
I do have a question.
I'm an experienced Chad.
That's much better. Nice save. I do have a question though. This is going to stoke the flames a little bit. So the Daily Render, is that synonymous? Like, what do other software, I haven't done a lot of research. I don't see any Maya Daily Renders. I don't see any 3ds Max Daily Renders. I don't see any, you know, name your 3D software. Is it synonymous with Cinema 4D, the Daily Render? And is it, I'll ask you that question and I'll say, is that good or bad or indifferent?
I'm taking a guess. I mean, cinema is my world right now. You know, I don't know necessarily what's going on with everyone else. I assume it's a little bit of, you know, people out there being such a great force with this idea and showing people what can happen if you make something every day for 10,000 days. I also think it's a little bit of, you know, I talked early on about daily projects and renders. I mean, I went and spoke at schools and put it up on Grayscale Gorilla over and over again to say, go make something every day. That's when I learned the most about photography and about composition. So there's maybe a little bit of that going on.
Oh, so we can blame Nick.
So yeah, you can blame me for it. But I think there are other things like the writing habit that isn't as public, but it's definitely a, you know, it's, you know, daily pages, wake up a little bit every day kind of thing. There's a lot of hints around it, but definitely the culture of it seems to be right now cinema heavy. But I also think there's a lot of new people coming into this world. There's a lot of new motion graphics designers and 3D artists and even After Effects people that want to be 3D people.
It's so also the most approachable of the 3D renders. So if somebody's drastically improving their skills quickly, there's a good chance that they're starting out in Cinema 4D because it's approachable.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, for both of you, it is really easy to make a nice looking sphere or meta ball and light it and render it, right? And that's a quick win for many people, and it shows people that this 3D stuff isn't as complicated as you might think it is. But then once they get in, once we fool them and show them how easy it can be, then they understand how much more complex.
And we tell them how hard it really is.
Well, it is. I mean, I think there's always that character. There's always needs to be that character that goes, come on in, it's not that hard. And then once you're in,
first taste is free.
No, it is. And I think this is really important in any industry to have both sides of that. To have both sides of that coin, and maybe we have it here on the podcast, which is nice. But early on, I think saying something like, you know, to get started, it's really simple. You just do this and this and this. And now look, it looks 3D and you have this. That's exciting to me. That is something I've always loved to do with Grayscale Gorilla, with teaching in general, with training, to sit somebody behind something that they think is really difficult and say, listen, the moonwalk, not that hard. Watch. You could do the moonwalk, I promise. You can throw a yo-yo, I promise. You could solve the Rubik's Cube, I promise. Just follow these steps. Get them in early, and then once they figure out how hard it is, now they're hooked. And now they realize how fun it is. And now we can talk about some more of the complications and some more of the stuff that you're talking about too, Chad. I mean, you've had the history to see, you know, abstract stuff be be a thing for years. And now, you know, you're ready for new stuff, but they might not be.
Well, I don't necessarily. Okay. So that's good. And your points are well made. I think that, you know, consider this though. And the reason that I brought this up and Chris, I want to hear your answer too before, don't let me talk too long. Basically, like I've talked to people, to artists working at studios that have both, Cinema 4D and Maya, Cinema 4D, Maya and Houdini, things like that. And, there is a stigma that continues to exist that, I was victim to, about Cinema 4D and producers saying, well, that's just for that software is, that's what they use for daily renders. That's what they use for, look dev. Like you don't actually do production with that. And so like you get, I feel like the daily render phenomenon is kind of almost hurting, production artists that want to use or maybe are trying to use cinema more in their production pipeline, but producers maybe don't take it as seriously because of the disposable quality it kind of has, you know, it's almost like it's not true and I don't subscribe to this belief, but if it's easy, it must not be good. And I think that there's a lot of people in the professional industry that kind of look at it that way. And so the daily render could be seen as a very disposable medium. Well, it is disposable. It's daily. So I don't know. I kind of feel like that might be hurting the culture of Cinema 4D a little bit in terms of artists working at studios trying to get it into more production and being fought by producers or whatnot. I don't know.
Potentially. But at the same time, I guess a not big counterpoint to that, but you know, if it's not being seen by upper studio professionals as a super professional tool, but at the same time, and you've talked about this at a certain point, if there's all these new people jumping into Cinema 4D because it's approachable and you know, even a tiny fraction of them continue on to become like quality artists and know the software, then now you have a talent pool, which is going to drive the studios as well, where it's like, all right, there's nine Cinema 4D users for every Maya user in the city. Like, I guess I'm going to get some licenses of Cinema 4D because that's what everybody's using.
No, and so that's how it's been for the past, God, 5 years, I think, at least.
Maybe this is a good way, not just to end it today, but to maybe even pick this up in the future, because I think this is it touches on a lot of bigger topics that we tend to always talk about on the podcast here, which is how you get better and, you know, becoming professional and not just a hobbyist and all these kind of things. So I wonder if we could reach out to you guys. You know, what if any of you, you know, listening or watching have had a daily render experience or a habit, what do you guys think? Did it help you personally grow and get better? Or did you find yourself kind of frustrated by, you know, maybe some of the things Chris said about, like, you know, always wanting to be like put more time into it and it wasn't ever like enough time to get to it? Or, you know, I just like to hear stories about it, good or bad, because, you know, this is something that I think we should talk more about. And in general, you know, what things do you do? Here's what I would ask everybody out there. What things do you do every day, whether it's a daily render habit or watch a new tutorial or take a class? What things are you doing every day to make sure that you're getting a little bit better at what you do? And I think that's the goal behind the daily render project. And if that's not coming, if that's the goal, but that's not what's happening at the end of it, it's definitely time for more discussion.
Great way to wrap it up.
That's a good wrap up. I like it.
Bring us that, your stories.
this was a good podcast. It was pretty, you know, we had a really good, energetic, sometimes even heated moments.
We need to hug it out. Should we have a hug it out moment?
No, we do this stuff all the time. You should hear us when we discuss our products. It's like
you should hear us when we're not recording.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, well, thanks everybody for listening. And as always, if you like what you are hearing, give us a like on YouTube and subscribe if you haven't already. Give us a review on iTunes and look for everything that we talked about in the show notes down below. And we will see you next week on another Grayscale Gorilla podcast. Bye, everybody.